driven by Briggs Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go.
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
We are back for hour two of the game. John Tyler and Mitch all with you here. We go around college basketball at 525. They've got You Can't Be Serious at 550. I have to bail out halfway through the hour to get ready for Manhattan High Hoops coming up later on tonight. Two things that we've been kicking around today, obviously K-State, TCU. Tipping off at 8 o'clock, I've got some audio coming up here, this segment of the players answering some tough questions, and I think handling things much better than simply not showing up for any kind of media availability on Saturday after losing to Oklahoma. But the other part here that I want to start with, and Mitch, I trust, has tweeted it out from the game KMAN, the article about John Curry. Mitch is getting on that right now to tweet it out from the game KMAN. You can see it at JL Kurtz on my Twitter feed, by the way, right now. I did retweet it. But from a radio guy in Tennessee, and as we know, you can't really trust those radio guys, so who knows how much stock we actually put into this report. But he was the first guy I saw yesterday to put out there that Tennessee was going to hire John Curry as their athletic director. He has now put out a story with some of the bullet point headlines here, included in it being that Phil Fulmer, the former football coach there, who was a candidate for the athletic director job, one, believed that he had it on Monday when it wound up going to Curry, and two, apparently a big reason he was trying to push for the AD job was that he didn't want John Curry to get it because they had a strained relationship from when he was fired in 2008 when John Curry was still there at Tennessee in the athletic department. Also, it points out that, this is a quote, Curry had a tenuous relationship with some UT coaches and boosters when he was an assistant athletic director at Tennessee. So this is much more the same along the lines of a lot of the stuff you hear coming out about John Curry throughout his time here, and now especially since he has left, it's more smoke in that arena. But I do have, I'll let you comment here real quick, I do have another reason to have some pause with the information that's in this article. But go ahead.
Some of the other points that I saw in there also indicated that at least one of the interviews with John Curry did not come with the entire search committee present.
Right. Now, I had heard that yesterday, too, that in some ways the president circumvented their entire committee.
Right,
that
they which had is very interesting.
Set up. Yeah. So basically, I mean, to me, it sounds like Phil Fulmer was, I mean, according to this, telling people that he had the athletic director job, thought he had it. And the president apparently didn't want to go that route and was trying to just hurry up the process before so much momentum got rolling, I guess, with Phil Fulmer there and make the John Curry thing happen to the point where she flew out to Kansas to interview him and have everything set in motion very quickly here. So it sounds like basically there was plenty of drama on the Tennessee side of this.
Well, and it really puts the president, or I guess is it the chancellor? I don't know what the actual terminology is for the University of Tennessee in particular. But
Chancellor Beverly Davenport.
Okay. It puts her on a little bit of an island to me, because if this doesn't turn out right for Tennessee, whether that's, you know, 2 years down the road, 6 years down the road, 10 years down the road, people are going to say, well, it shouldn't have turned out like this in the first place. It was just because our president was determined to get this done. And that would be a pretty damning mark on her overall performance as president and chancellor of the University of Tennessee, I would think. I mean, I know that not everything is academics. It's certainly less the case in the SEC, but I think that it's taking a really big risk here for Tennessee.
Well, it sounds like there are a lot of personal reasons, personal motivations for the president to be making this hire, and that's always what I think the detractors of the Bruce Weber hire would tell you about John Curry hiring Bruce Weber, was that there were a lot of personal reasons for that hire to be made. I do think there are some parallels there, which is interesting, and I suppose some things coming full circle, perhaps, with John Curry being hired at Tennessee. But I will say, take it with a grain of salt, because at least the K-State information, the K-State half of this, as has been pointed out by some people on Twitter after I retweeted the article, there are some things, as a K-State fan, you read here and say, well, that's not exactly right. Does mention the Frank Martin saga, but all it really says is that one of Martin's players, Jamar Samuels, had $200 wired to him, fearing a possible NCAA violation. Curry suspended the player. Martin was livid and eventually left. All true, but there's a lot more to that than just, I mean, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. There was a lot more to that. You can remember that there was the pay Frank movement. People were upset that he wasn't getting a contract extension fast enough. It seemed like that was where some of it may have started. There was taking notes behind him on the bench. There were a lot of things that were at play there not just that. And then when it mentions Bill Snyder and his relationship with Bill Snyder, the only things it points out were Curry taking over the non-conference scheduling and Bill Snyder being upset that the equestrian program was dropped because his daughter was an equestrian rider. So, you know, we know that there's a lot more to it than both of those things as well in terms of having a rocky relationship. Like, I'm sure those things didn't help, but I just think it's just a Cliff Notes version of what happened, and it does specifically mention putting Auburn and Stanford on the slate, too. The Auburn game was not something that John Curry did, so that is factually incorrect. It's just a sketchy side of things from the K-State point of view. So I guess I would say that just in the interest of fairness here for this article that has come out.
And as Kellis pointed out in a tweet earlier this hour, the Stanford game wasn't really – I mean, yes, John Curry is who did that, but K-State wanted to play a cupcake. Well, at least according to what Kellis has to say. The Stanford game was not supposed to happen. It was a last resort.
Right. And you remember talking about that when it happened. It was just that K-State had wound up with an opening, and I want to say it was because somebody dropped. I can't totally remember that story, but they wound up with an opening. It was late in the game. They just had to find someone. Stanford was one of the few schools that had an opening there where they could play the game. So, yeah, I don't think that was necessarily all, hey, we're going to go seek out a big-time opponent like Stanford.
I think it was a return trip from UTSA or something like that that didn't work out, and that's why it happened. But, I mean, anyway.
We'll stop. We don't know what we're talking about. That's why you can't trust radio guys, this whole article that we've been discussing here today. But we do know that some of it from the K-State standpoint is a little bit sketchy. So, again, you can read the article. It's called The Inside Story, Complex Picture in Tennessee's Hiring of John Curry by Jimmy Humas.
We've had an hour to work on that.
You can see it at J.L. Kurtz on Twitter or The Game KMAN. All right, so with John Curry and everything that happened yesterday, some of the basketball info got buried, and one of the things that I did want to bring up was what the players had to say in answering some questions yesterday from us, the media. They did talk to us yesterday after they did not talk to media on Saturday following a 30-point loss to the last-place team in the Big 12, the Oklahoma Sooners. You know, I know everybody, and I say everybody, I shouldn't generalize like that, but those that are smelling blood in the water right now with the basketball program and the direction it's going and that want to change are hoping for, like, fireworks to go off again yesterday with the meeting there, but there was just simply none. I mean, it was very standard. If you would have put that one in the middle of the season, I wouldn't have been able to tell it from any different midweek press conference that we've had with Bruce Weber and the players. They were fine. They seem in good spirits. You know, I've seen them down, very down. I thought after the Oklahoma State game, Wes and DJ were as down as I've ever seen them. They seemed like they were all fine when we talked to them, and I threw together some clips here of them answering some of the tougher questions that they got, just as evidence of how much better they handled things by going out there.
I think there is more pressure because we want this win. We know what this win could do for us in terms of our resume. So we want it. It's simple. We want it and we need it.
Is there a mentality on the team at all that you guys are playing for Bruce at this point?
I think more than anything we're playing for each other in the locker room. That's what it's about. We don't want to let each other down. We've been working hard this summer, pushing each other. So it's more about us as a team.
Is there any aspect when you guys are going through a stretch, losing 8 out of 10, where it starts to wear on you a little bit getting here towards the end of the season?
No, I'd say we're still hungry, still want to play, know that it's not over.
How tough is that to, like, you know, you've had a lot of losses recently and a lot of people are starting to get down right now. How tough is it to keep that positive attitude right now?
I mean, you just have someone on a team with a little bit of leadership and another guy with a little bit of energy. I'm trying to bring that energy today and stay on a positive side. I mean, we're still able to get into the tournament. So with all that being said, I mean, we just have to buckle down, get these wins, and do good in the Big 12 tournament, and we'll be fine.
Is there any aspect going through a stretch, losing 8 out of 10, some of the noise outside the program? I mean, does it start to wear on you guys at all?
We just try to ignore it all, man. You know, at this time, we're just, you know, doing it for, you know, what's on the front of our jerseys, the whole K-State family. So we're going to go out here, you know, show some fight, try to get this win, and just go on from there.
Perfectly fine the way that everything was handled. And much like you said, if K-State wins the game tonight against TCU in a way, it makes you angry, frustrated, like, what the heck? I have the same reaction here to this. It's like, you guys handled this fine. Bruce Weber handled things fine yesterday as well. All you got to do is go out and do that on Saturday, and it's a non-story. I mean, this is how things become stories when, in the age of Twitter, people are just waiting. Like I said, there are sharks circling, waiting for the blood in the water. And yes, they will take and twist just about anything that us who cover the team put out there on Twitter. You know, the mentions get crazy no matter what it is that I tweet from Bruce Weber or players or anything. So that's going to happen. But it's much more subdued when you're not tweeting out there, well, players aren't coming out, players refusing to talk to us, or Bruce Weber is going full POTUS and blaming the media. I mean, I just don't. That turns it into so much bigger of a story. I think I already knew that that was the case, but this is a good example locally of that happening.
And there are, I mean, there are games that take place that we talk to the players and we don't even tweet anything that the players have to say because there just isn't anything
right, cause it's
notable.
Just nondescript.
Yeah, it's just not, it's not a story. But when you put that out there, the players are not talking to the media. The fans take that and they run with it. And, I mean, to a certain extent, it's warranted, and it makes everything just that, it makes the mushroom cloud that much bigger, especially when they talk to the media again, because then that's where the questions start is, well, where were you guys a few days
ago? Yeah, right. Well, because I didn't have the audio there, but Kellis did ask Wesley Iwundu about, why didn't you guys talk with us? And his answer was fine. He just said, we were really hurting. We thought we just needed to get together and talk amongst ourselves. It wasn't anything against you. And, you know, Wes, I think he is pretty sincere with that. I do believe that. But at least send somebody out there just to have a quick comment, right. Say, yeah, that was not good. We
team
just
want
to be together. Like, I don't have really too much else to say. Even if it's something like that, that would have alleviated a lot of things instead of letting it sit around. Ultimately, it's wound up not being as big a deal as it could have been just because of the bombshell dropped by John Curry leaving yesterday. So they did dodge a bullet somewhat there. And the other thing I take out of just the way that they reacted and handled themselves yesterday is I do think it's possible that they win the game. I mean, it's an elimination NCAA tournament game. It's a road game. It's a team that's already beat them at home. I mean, there are plenty of reasons to believe that they would lose, but at the same time, we know they're capable of beating Baylor on the road, playing at Allen Fieldhouse toe-to-toe with Kansas. They certainly could, and they don't seem like a team, at least from their attitude right now, that's quit. Now, if they go out there and get behind again, just like at Oklahoma, and shots aren't falling and frustration comes, yeah, then maybe they're going to be in some trouble. But I think as long as it's not a disastrous start, I think, judging by what I saw and what we know about this team, they'll be in the game. I would expect it to be a game tonight.
Yeah, I think that they'll be broken pretty quickly if things do start really negatively. I don't think that they are at a point anymore mentally where they could have a start, say, like what they did at Iowa State when they fell behind by 20 points and still battle back. I don't think that they have that in them anymore. And that's not totally their fault. I mean, that this is the result of being in game 17 out of an 18-game Big 12 schedule. I mean, it's going to be tough on a lot of teams. But if it starts badly for K-State tonight and you want to turn your television off, I don't think that you're going to miss much.
We'll go around college basketball next. The feel-good story from the sports world yesterday is included, and I had to fight like heck to make sure that it made it in. This is The Game.